This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Many in today's world firmly believe our lives are preordained. Everything that happens to us is thought to be predestined, whether it's from some of the smallest things in life to the larger circumstances of our life's events. Some have even adopted a life guided by astrology, the language of the stars, from movie actors to world leaders, including their wives. Many have come to believe the stars hold all the answers to the conditions of their life's experience. Yes, there are even Christians today that believe their life is pre-planned, from who they will marry to how many kids they will have to what they will do for a living. Many firmly believe they simply have no choice in matters of life. Is this true? Can it be we don't have any responsibility for the things we find ourselves confronting? That we are indeed free from all accountability for the choices we make and consequences we incur? Are we actually defined by the choices each of us make? Or has God preordained us to make those choices? Well, stay with us as we explore this idea of predestination.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. The subject of today's program is predestination. And we won't be able to get into all the nuances of this particular subject, but we do want to address it, offer you some literature, offer you a CD today that can help you study up, research, and learn more about this interesting topic of predestination. Now, have you ever had someone talking to you about what happens in your life? For example, I remember having a conversation at work where a woman who I related some aspect of something that had happened in my life told me that was God's will, that God did that in my life. She was under the impression that everything that happened to me in my life was because of God deciding that it was going to happen that way. I don't hold to that particular contention. I've had some other people talk about someone who died. And when this individual died, they talked as if God had decided that they would die on that particular day. Now, once again, the Bible does teach that God can come into the affairs of human beings, but I don't believe that God is doing that on a regular basis. I believe that God is allowing us to make free moral choices in our life. And when it comes to salvation, yes, we are saved by the grace of God, but God allows humans to make the decision of whether or not they are going to follow Him or not follow Him. So that's going to bring us into this subject of predestination. And I want to look at one scripture as we get started here. It's over in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13 and verse 4. And I just want to set this up because in ancient times, people believed that bad things would happen to them if they were sinners. If they were greater sinners than other people, then destruction and bad things would occur in their life. But notice what Jesus says about this beginning in Luke 13. I'll pick it up in verse 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. Do you notice what Jesus is saying here? He's saying that these bad things that happened to these individuals were not because they were greater sinners than other people upon the earth. And what he focuses in on is, unless you repent, you will all perish. Now, repentance is something you do in your mind. It's a choice that you make in your life. So Jesus is setting us up for the idea that you have some say-so in whether or not you are going to be saved or you are going to be lost. So we want to look at this particular subject today. And before we really get into the nitty-gritty of this, I want to offer you a free booklet and also a free CD on today's program. Now, the booklet we're going to offer you, which we'll get into much more detail than I will be able to get into on today's program, is titled, What Does the Bible Say About Predestination and Election? Did God, before the foundation of the world was laid, unconditionally predetermine who would be saved and who would not? Has your ultimate destiny already been set? Is it true, as Calvinists claim, that the elect were not appointed on the basis of their faith, good works, character, or anything else God could see within them? What about the famous 5 points of Calvinism? Do they square with Scripture? Let's not guess. Let's seek answers from the Word of God. To get What Does the Bible Say About Predestination and Election, call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. We also want to offer you a free CD that's titled, Can You Lose Your Salvation? There are some that believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Is that true? We also want you to get the CD, Can You Lose Your Salvation? And again, to get both those items, call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or you can order by going to our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Please go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks again for joining us on today's edition of The Armor of God. We're looking at the subject of predestination today, and we were talking a little bit at the top of today's program about how some people view predestination. Some people believe that God has preordained everything in your life, that you're either saved or lost on a decision that God has made. Now, not all Christians believe that, but some do. Some have heard of the topic of fatalism. Some have heard of the word of determinism. And once again, these are words that are analogous to predestination, but they're a little bit different. So please research that terminology if you're interested in learning more about this subject. But when we think of fatalism, there are some who believe that Islam is a fatalistic religion. Some Muslims would argue that point. There are others who say that Hinduism is a fatalistic religion. For example, when you look at Hinduism, you will find a caste system within Hinduism. And it's fatalistic because those who are in the various castes, whether it is a low caste or a high caste, believe that it's been preordained from their previous existence, that they've been reincarnated into this new life, and they have to go through that life as a low caste member or a high caste member because of what happened in a previous life. So that's a little bit about what fatalism is, and the Bible is not fatalistic. The Bible does not teach fatalism, as some incorrectly surmise. So I want to look at this topic of predestination today. We're going to delve into it a little bit in-depthly, and we will also offer you that free literature and CD again at the end of today's program. So when we think of Christianity, there are various views about predestination within Christianity. There are some who believe in Christianity that predestination means that at the foundation of the world, before mankind came to this world, God decided who was going to be saved. That's one idea about predestination. Another idea that is similar, but it is a little bit different, is that not only did God decide who was going to be saved before mankind came onto the earth, but he also decided who was going to be destroyed, who was not going to be saved before the foundation of the world. Now just think about the logic of that for a moment, that man has no choice in the matter. Does that make sense to you? Now once again, they create some logic around this through the 5 points of Calvinism, and you can read about that in the booklet that we'd offered at the beginning of the program, and we'll offer it again at the end of the program. But again, does that make sense just when you hear it for the first time? It does not make sense to me, and I want to look at that for a moment. Now, there is an ancient Protestant creed known as the Westminster Confession of Faith, and this was written in about 1646. And there are some Protestants that still adhere to this Westminster Confession of Faith. I want to read to you point number 4 within the Westminster Confession of Faith. Here's what it says. These angels and men, thus predestined and foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their number is so certain and definite that it cannot be either increased or diminished. Now just think about what they're saying there. That God has foreordained exactly who will be saved and who will be lost. That there's nothing you can do about that. Now again, does that sound like a loving God? Does that make sense to you when you hear that maybe for the first time? Now, that doesn't make sense to me. Now, part of the problem here is many of these Protestants don't understand what the second resurrection is all about. That people will have an opportunity, no matter who they are, to understand the truth of God. And if you've watched our program before, you've probably listened to us talk about that second resurrection, which is written about in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. We don't have time to get into all of the details of that today, but that's part of the problem why some Protestants have this idea and this notion about predestination not giving mankind any choice in the matter. But again, we don't agree with that here at the Church of God International. We believe that we do have a choice in this matter. Now, they do use scriptures, those who uphold that Westminster Confession of Faith, those who do take a Calvinistic approach to the topic of predestination. And let me show you a couple scriptures that they use for their contention. But listen carefully to what I'm saying within these scriptures and ask yourself, is it agreeing exactly with what is in the Westminster Confession of Faith? And I believe if you listen, you will see that they are not saying that in these scriptures I'm about to read. The first scripture is over in Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to pick it up there in verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, here's what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now notice, I'm going to read the other scripture in a moment, but it says, to them that love God. Now, isn't it a decision that you make whether or not you're going to love God or not love God? Isn't that a decision you make in your mind, whether you will love someone or you will not love someone? Does someone force love upon you? Of course not. So be careful as to what I'm reading here. Now, let me go to the next verse, which is the more important verse. For whom he did foreknow. Now, let me ask you a question. Who is the whom here? Let me say that again. In verse 29 of Romans 8, who is the whom that is mentioned here? Now, what the predestinationist Calvinist will say is the whom here is the people that God has already picked. But does it say that there are particular individuals he has picked here? No. Whom could be understood as a body of people. Now, who that body is addressed in other parts of the Bible. So we can't take one scripture to make a doctrine around. But let's continue reading. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then finally, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. But here's the point that's important to understand. Who are the whom here? The Bible does not explicitly state who they are. The belief is that these are the people that love God. But ladies and gentlemen, everyone will have an opportunity to decide whether or not they are going to love God, whether or not they are going to choose to follow God. And the Bible is abundantly clear that God wants to save all people and that all people will have an opportunity for salvation. No one is excluded from at least having the opportunity for salvation. Your Bible's clear on that, and I'm going to provide some data to help prove that. But let me go to one other scripture that the Calvinistic predestinationists use, and that is over in the book of Ephesians. So let me turn over to Ephesians, and I'm going to pick it up there in chapter 1. So let me get to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now it says he chose us before the foundation of the world. But who's it talking about here? It's talking specifically about Christians, those who come to believe in God. In other words, God has created a plan that he set up at the foundation of the world. And there's a plan that if you follow what he wants you to do, he will give you his grace, he will give you his spirit, and it will lead you on the path to salvation. But you can get off of that train that leads you to salvation. You don't have to follow him, but he is going to make you aware of that truth at some point in history. Now, let me pick it up in verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, again, it's talking about what happens once you become a Christian. He's died for you. He's atoned for your sins. And let me pick it up in verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. And finally, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, here's the important thing. What was his purpose? What is God's will for humanity? Is God's will for humanity that he's going to decide who gets saved and who does not get saved before we even have an option to decide in our mind? Heavens no. God is going to open up this opportunity for everyone. And that gets at the crux of the matter here. Because what Calvinists believe is that Christ's atoning sacrifice was only for those God chose to save, that it was not for all mankind. And I'm going to show you from the pages of your Bible that that is not what your Bible teaches. Your Bible teaches that God wants all to be saved. That when he thought about this plan before he put man on this earth, he had it in his mind, the hope, that all would follow this path. But he knew that all would not follow that path. Now let me give you some scriptures that back me up on this. I'm going to turn over to the Gospel of John. This is John chapter 3. And let's see if Christ's atoning sacrifice was for all mankind or not. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Once again, this is a conscious decision you make. You choose to believe in him or not. You can't get around that. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world. What's the world, folks? The world is the world. It's the entire planet. It's everyone who's lived on that world. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Is that picking and choosing people, folks? No, of course not. God wants everyone in the world to be saved. But he knows in his infinite wisdom that not everyone will choose him and not everyone will be saved. In the book of John, a few chapters forward, I'm turning over to John chapter 12 and verse 32. And again, we're looking at this idea. Did God die only for certain people or did he die for everyone? John chapter 12 and verse 32 says the following. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now this is Christ talking about after his resurrection, he's going to draw men to him. And it says all men here. So there's a plan that God has put in place whereby all of mankind will have an opportunity to either choose him or reject him. Now, some of us, those of us who are Christians today, we have that opportunity right now. But there are others, the vast majority of humanity, that never had this opportunity, and they will get it at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5 and other scriptures in your Bible. Let's take a look at another scripture along these same lines, and this is over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Now listen carefully to what it says. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men. Now does that mean all are going to be saved? No, because look at what the very next line says. Who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Do you get that, folks? This flies in the face of what Calvinists teach. This says he can save all men, and especially those men who believe in him and those women who come to believe in him. But once again, let me reiterate, what is belief? Belief is a conscious decision that your mind makes, ladies and gentlemen. It's not something that is forced upon you. We're not robots. We're not automatons. God doesn't force us to go this way or that way. He allows us to make a choice in the matter. We are involved in this. Oh, yes, we're saved by the grace of God, but we've got to do something about that. We've got to believe. And when you believe, you then act upon that belief. You then take action that leads you towards that particular destination, which hopefully will be salvation. One other scripture I'd like to show you here is over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, along these same lines. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for only the men that were chosen at the foundation of the world? No, it doesn't say that. Let me tell you what it says. That he should taste death for every man. And of course, that includes women. That includes humanity, mankind. He would taste death for every man. Christ's atoning sacrifice was for everyone who's ever lived. Whether or not you're going to get saved or not is another story. But it is a decision that you can take part in. It has not been predetermined. What has been predetermined is the plan that God has set into motion on how you can get saved. And a certain amount of people will be saved, but not everyone will be saved. Now, I offered you some free literature on today's program. Make sure you get it. It gets into more detail that I cannot get into right now. Please get the booklet, What Does the Bible Say About Predestination and Election? And please get that free CD that we are also offering today, which is titled, Can You Lose Your Salvation? I believe that you can. In Hebrews 6 and Hebrews 10, those scriptures definitely tell us we can. Please call 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or visit our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.